Welcome, everybody, to the Hockey Think Tank podcast brought to you by the hockeythinktank.com, a website for all players, parents, and coaches to go to get a little bit of education and a little bit of inspiration regarding the greatest game on the planet. What an episode we have for you guys here today. Later on in the episode, we are bringing on the owners of Nice Rink, a backyard rink company, Jim and Tyler Stoller, and they are going to give us the ins and outs of their backyard rink company, and we are also going to be giving away a free $2,000 rink with a little contest and a little secret hashtag that we are going to reveal later on in the episode.
Secret.
But first, as we're talking about backyard rink, Jeff and I thought that it would be a fun episode to talk about some of our best hockey memories, because I think many of the people who are listening to this right now, some of their best hockey memories are probably in the backyard or on the pond or playing some sort of outdoor hockey. And so we thought it would be fun to talk about some of our best memories as it relates to the game. So that's what we are going to do first before we do get over to Jim and Tyler and talk some backyard rink building. But let's bring on the main man, Jeffrey Lavecchio, the talent of the podcast. Vex, what's going on here today, man?
Not much, Brosif. I got to sleep in today till 5:40 a.m., so that was really nice. I won't lie. A bunch of my guys have a game tonight, so they didn't work out this morning in the early session. So that was lovely to get that extra hour of sleep. And I've had a great day training a bunch of people and doing some stuff. And it was really cool getting to talk to Jim here and hear about backyard ice rinks, because growing up, you got to do that a decent amount, and I only got to do it one time at Grandpa's house. And so that memory for me is like etched in my mind. I remember the smells. I remember the lights. I remember skating out there with Grandpa. Like, it was just so unbelievably cool for me, and something that I wish I could have been doing all the time every winter, but it's just not something we did here in St. Louis. I don't know if it was too warm or whatever, for whatever, my parents didn't have the patience to do it like Grandpa did. But yeah, man, I only got to do it once in the backyard, and it was definitely very, very special for me.
Yeah, the backyard rink that Grandpa built was unreal, and it wasn't a big one by any means, but didn't really matter, you know, getting out there with family. And you know, Grandpa's getting up in age now, but when we were younger, him getting out there, he refereed for however many years, millions of years.
I'm gonna love hearing that.
Strong as an ox, though, still strong as an 85 years young. Yeah, just it's such great memories being able to do that with family, and I'm sure a lot of other people with friends and stuff. It is cool, and we talked about it when we talked about it with Jim and Tyler. So many people, the first question that we ask when we do this podcast is, how'd you fall in love with the game? And how many people from the northern states talk about playing on the pond or playing in the parking lot or playing in the backyard and stuff like that? And it's funny when you say that, like you mentioned the smells and everything. I remember that too, because Grandma and Grandpa's house have like this distinct smell to begin with.
And then which is amazing.
And then, you know, you go outside and you get the fresh air smell. And I feel like it's a very similar smell in a lot of different places when you're outside and you're on the ice in the backyard. It's just like a very pure, calming, awesome feeling. And then getting the chance to play with cousins and brothers and sisters and dads and uncles and everything. It was very, very fun. And we talked about too, how, you know, you're basically out there as long as you want. And then Grandma tapped on the window in the kitchen, looking outside while she was watching us when dinner was ready. Keep your skates on, right into the dining room right there. Eat dinner with your skates on. As soon as you're done, boom, you're right back outside. Never even missed a beat.
Love it.
Yeah. And the Scott family, whether it was the backyard with Grandpa or a house that we lived in for a little bit that had a pond in the backyard, like, were you there the year that Vinny and Cody went at it?
No, but my God, do I wish I saw that.
So our two cousins, Vinny and Cody, absolutely.
Cody's been on the podcast. Works for the podcast.
Exactly. And they got into a heated disagreement, let's call it, and we're absolutely throwing him. And Vinny and I were talking the other day about how it was like one of those fights where it was like a hate fight. Like they were throwing to hurt, you know, two brothers, and they were going at it. And the funniest part was neither of them landed a punch. They're just going at it. And typically in a Scott family, get together, let's call it, there's some sort of hockey competition that happens. Usually it's like knee hockey in the basement or shinny or something like that going on. In this case, it was outside. Typically there's always somebody that's bloody, and typically there's always somebody that ends up crying every single year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you say that we're competitive?
We're just a little bit competitive. Just a little bit.
And it's always fun when, you know, we play knee hockey and stuff, and the sisters get involved and the aunts get involved, and it's just like everybody, you know, drawing a hat, names out of a hat to see who's on what team. And it is very fun. Usually my dad is in the middle of some sort of controversy. A lot of times it's with our Uncle Tim, who's also been on the podcast, and one of the more polarizing people that we've had on as well. So it's so much fun to be able to have family around, especially during like the holidays and everything, and to be able to do those kinds of things, and a backyard rink for so many people is just such a great memory that they have growing up.
I mean, that also brings me back to the snowman cup that we had at the last house that your parents were in the basement. You and I could only partake at Christmas because we were playing college hockey at the time when they used to have that. They had a Thanksgiving cup, I think, but we were never able to play in that. And they had the snowman cup. And so it was knee hockey in the basement, 2-on-2, one goalie, one player playing out, only could be on your knees, very strict rules. And, you know, I just remember coming out on top, and actually Vinny, who we were just talking about, who was chirping me earlier, so I'm going to chirp him now when he can't defend himself. I got a sweet picture of me and his brother Anthony winning the Snowman Cup with Anthony and my dad, who played us in the finals. And my dad's just like, whatever. And Vinny's crying. Literally, he's bawling, being a little baby, and he has no way to defend himself. So I'm going to roast him on here right now. That's what you get, Vinny. That's what you get. Yeah, it was awesome. That's one of my favorite pictures of all time. I will always remember that picture. I love that picture. I sleep with it under my pillow. It reminds me of winning, and I love it.
Oh, that is funny. So obviously we have a lot of great memories growing up. And that's the whole basis of this podcast here today. Talk about some pretty cool memories, and hopefully it elicits some great memories that you guys and the listeners are all having right now that you've had with family growing up and doing things like this. But, you know, once we got to the older levels and everything, and like, what are some of your favorite memories that you've had on the ice, as you got older and the hockey became a little bit more important? Are there any that stick out to you?
Absolutely every goal I ever scored. But I mean, that is true. But for sure, my first professional game, I signed with the Bruins after my junior year in college. We lost on Sunday. I flew out Tuesday morning, physicals in Boston with the Bruins, and then played in the AHL that weekend, maybe. I played the second game, the first game they made me watch and like take notes, basically. Then the second game I played in the AHL, and I had an assist in the second period on Byron Bitz's goal, your former lineman, teammate at Cornell. And then in the third period, I scored my first pro goal on Al Montoya, which we talked about on this podcast. So that game, I scored my first assist, my first goal. I was a plus one, and I was the first star of the game. And so, like, you know, there were some people who are like, oh, you know, you shouldn't sign, you're not ready. And for me to go there and then do that in my first game, like it was absolutely exhilarating. It felt so good. I felt like I belonged. It was amazing. And my parents bought the jersey from that game because it was a St. Patrick's Day game. And so like it was a special jersey that fans could buy. And I told my parents like, hey, you know, I don't really care about like memorabilia and all that stuff, but like I would love to have the jersey for my first game where I scored my first pro goal. So they bought me that jersey. So that was really, really cool and something that I'll always cherish for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm sure you can like remember everything about that moment, what everything. You saw, what you smelled, what you heard, all that kind of stuff.
Everything. And you know me, like I usually, when I score, I selly uncontrollably because I was always so happy when I scored. You never know when it's going to be your last goal. And I was so happy. I didn't even selly. I shot, I saw the puck go in, I beat him high glove, which I never shoot high, so that was kind of hilarious. And I just remember just standing still in the high slot and just raising my arms, and I looked at the ceiling and I was like, I'm fucking here. I'm here. Like, I did that. And I just like, it was just like, it was so not me to not like go crazy. It was just like, yes, like I'm here. I belong here. I've done this. I got the first one out of the way in my first game. And it was a great, great feeling.
Unreal, man.
How about you? Cool.
I think like, you know, I think as a hockey player and just our makeup, I think the memories that come back first are the championships that you win. And yeah, and the feeling of celebrating with your teammates afterwards, and was able to win one at the youth level, was able to win one at the college level. So that I think initially is really, really cool. That's kind of like the typical hockey guy answer, yeah. But at the same time, like it's true. But I think personally, there's a couple things that happened when I was playing at Cornell that were really cool. The first one was actually my first game too, because I had never, I'd heard about the crowd. I'd heard that the crowd was unreal, but when I took my visit out there, it was in the summer. So I'd never actually seen a game before. And this was pre-YouTube. So like you can never, like you just didn't know. And so I remember my first game, it was an exhibition game and we were playing, I can't even remember who we were playing against. But just, I remember skating out for warmups and the band's playing and the place is literally packed already and it's warmups. And I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. Because like for you playing in the USHL in Omaha, you got to play for a home crowd that was pretty good. Like yeah. I was in Chicago and we averaged negative fans per game.
And they were grandma and grandpa and your mom and dad.
Exactly. So I had never played for a home crowd that was like really big. And then, you know, coming out there for warmups. And then during that game, I still have a distinct memory in the second period. I laid out to block a shot and I blocked it and it went out of the zone and the place went bananas, like literally bananas. It was really cool because that's kind of like the culture of what Cornell is. It's like, you know, bought in team, all that kind of stuff. And the fact that the fans buy into that too, and they're knowledgeable enough to know that like sacrificed your body is like a cool thing. And they went nuts. That was awesome. And then later on in that game, my first game, and it didn't count because it was exhibition, but I actually had 2 goals in the game.
Oh,
and so you go, and then it took me 10 in the regular season to score my actual first goal. A little snake bit, but so I scored 2 goals in the first game in that exhibition game. And then after the handshake line, we do this thing where we salute the crowd, you know, you tap the sticks and then you salute the crowd. And then the crowd started chanting my name.
Yeah, they did.
They started chanting my name and it was unbelievable. It was just like such a cool feeling. So that was cool. But the other one that was awesome was also my freshman year too. Our last home game that year in the playoffs, to get to the final four of our league, we were playing against Clarkson and it was in overtime and I ended up scoring the OT winner. And so the place went absolutely nuts. And there was a tradition at the time where in the last home game, the fans would rush the ice. So I literally scored that goal, mobbed by the team. Everybody's all excited. Everybody's so pumped up. And then the fans freaking rush the ice right after that. They're climbing over the boards. They're going through the Zamboni door and everybody's celebrating together. Like that is something that like, I can't even do justice in talking about it because it was just that awesome. But yeah. What a memory that was.
Oh man, you're making me emotional. You're making me miss playing in front of fans now.
I'm missing like a lot. I know. Oh man, I think about that day. I actually have the DVD for kids out there. DVD is something we used to have. But like I still have the DVD and it's very hard for me to watch. Like it's as happy of a moment it was, it's still very hard for me to watch because I get emotional watching it.
Yeah.
Because again, it goes back to it. Like the psychology of these types of memories, when you have memories like that, you feel it. Like it,
yeah.
Things come back to you. You remember what you saw. You remember what you smelled. You remember what you heard. Remember what you heard.
Cornell? What? What was that school you were playing for?
Yeah. And it was really cool too, because there's a picture after I scored. So, you know, your thing, I went nuts when I scored too. And what I would always do as a 5'4" person is always I'd like jump into like the person I was celebrating with first. And so there's this awesome picture of myself jumping into the arms of one of my teammates, Cam Abbott, who's one of my favorite teammates ever. He's actually a head coach in the Swedish Elite League right now, him and his twin brother. Cam is the head coach, and Chris, his twin brother, crazy. But anyway, so I like jumped into his arms. He was my line mate, and we were, you know, celebrating, and somebody got a picture of it. And I like, it's my favorite picture of all time.
That's
I'm getting
sick.
Emotional now. I'm just like,
yeah, dude, I want to go play. I haven't put my skates on in so long. Now you're making me want to put my skates on.
I know. But how about, you know, obviously we've had some pretty cool memories on the ice, but half of being a hockey player is just the time you'd be able to spend with the boys and having great memories off the ice and stuff. Is there anything that, any off ice memory you had with some of your teammates? I know I can't remember which podcast what it was, but you told a hilarious story about Brad Marchand, like barefoot chasing down a, yeah. a robber or something like that. But what's another memory, like an off ice memory that you have with like one of your favorites, like with the guys? Does any come to mind?
I mean, ones I can tell on this podcast, ones I'll tell anyone. I mean, rookie parties in the American League were always super fun, but those were usually pretty crazy. So that's not for this podcast for sure. I loved Halloween with the boys. Like every team I played on, I'd always be like, boys, you got to go somewhere. You got to do something. And my last year we had a really, really fun Halloween party, over in Europe, and all the guys dressed up, everybody brought their wives and kids. And, you know, we rented out a restaurant and went to the club in town after in a small European city, and just like so much fun. And I don't know, like every time I loved getting together with the boys. So like anytime you could go to lunch, anytime you could put anything from practice on the line, and then you beat a guy, and then like that guy has to buy everybody lunch or dinner or whatever, and you're chirping them the whole time for losing. You know, usually karma usually bites you in the ass. And if you talk too much crap, then you're going to be the one losing the next game. Then everybody's going to give it back to you. And then you win the next one, you're giving it back. And, you know, I missed the locker room a ton with all that stuff. But, I don't know. I love the Halloween parties. Like those are always fun. You get some guys going out like crazy and doing that stuff. And there was one my last year too, where this was really fun. And you and I talk about team bonding all the time. And, you know, everyone in this story was over 21, so they could drink alcohol, obviously. And I'm not a big drinker, but we had a beer pong tournament in our locker room. The rink was closed. We got into the rink. We had a beer pong tournament in the locker room, and every guy that came into the room where all the boys were, they had their own entrance song. So you could choose your own.
Oh,
entrance.
No way.
So everybody's in the room. Somebody's on the lights, flipping them up and down. The lights are going on and off. So I come in and I smash two beer cans together. I'm dumping them all over myself. And I don't even remember what the song was, but I'm pouring it in my mouth and like spitting it out. Like somebody lights the fire and spits the beer, and all the boys are going nuts, and I'm being an idiot, obviously being a ham and getting everybody going. And in the finals, you know, we got all these young guys who probably drank more than the older guys. And in the finals was all four of the oldest guys on the team. One like 15-year vet, me, who was my 10th year. One guy who was in his like 14th year. Another guy in his like 15th or 16th year. Two Finns, a Canadian, and myself. And we wound up in the finals together, just showing the young bucks how it's done. So that was super, super fun in my last year playing. And that's a memory I'll definitely remember forever too.
That's awesome. We had a similar one where, so every year in the preseason, we were pretty tight with the lacrosse team at Cornell. And so every year, one night that we had off where the two of us aligned, we'd always plan a hockey versus lacrosse beer pong tournament against each other. And it was great because we would get everybody there. Like they were part of a fraternity. So we'd get to go to the fraternity house, a bunch of tables and everything. And I think it was 10 teams per team. So usually it was the older guys that were in it. And then the younger guys were watching like, I can't wait to be in this tournament in 2 years or, you know, and it was hilarious, dude. It was absolutely hilarious. We had a lot of Canadians on our team. I think my freshman year we had maybe like 5 or 6 Americans. That was it. So it was tied. So 10 teams. So there's a lot of games played, and we ended up being tied going into the final game, lacrosse team versus the hockey team. And so you had, as the two, I can't remember who was actually playing between the two guys, but you had, the entire hockey team singing the Canadian national anthem, and you had the entire lacrosse team singing the U.S. national anthem, like side by side, getting ready for this last game of the beer pong tournament. And it was like one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's sick. I love that.
Yeah, it was hilarious. It was like literally, and like all of us hockey players who were American on the team, we're like belting out the Canadian national anthem. We're like, we don't even care at this point. Like, I'm a Canadian citizen for tonight. And just so funny. But yeah, man, like that stuff is so important. I mean, we used to say this all the time, and like, you know, I do think it's true, but like the teams that party together play together. I'm a big believer in that. And I'm not talking about in like midgets. I'm talking about once you get older into college hockey and pro and stuff. Like the teams that are close and the teams that party together, they win. And the teams that don't, they have, you know, fractures, they have cliques or whatever it may be. Like those teams end up sucking all the time.
Yeah. Teams, even in juniors, like we had the OC night. I don't know if you remember that TV show.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We had the OC night. And the year before that, we had Friends night. It was Friends, the TV show's last season on. And so my rookie year, every, maybe it was Tuesday night, every Tuesday night, we picked somebody else's house to go to, and the entire team had to go. And the housing mom from that house would either make a bunch of food or buy food, or we'd all chip in. And, you know, we were the Lance. I mean, we made it to game six, lost in game six of the finals that year. My last year, we had OC night. We won the regular season championship of the USHL. And we were probably the best team in the league, and we just sucked in playoffs, unfortunately. You know, but like the teams that hang out together, that party together, that love being around each other outside of the rink, they're always the teams that overachieve and you know, are tight and are there for each other on the ice and off.
Yeah, my last year of juniors in Chicago was the best year we had. It was the first year we actually won a championship, or not a championship, but we won the Eastern Division that year. And we had the same thing. We had a poker/euchre night. So at one night a week, and it's tough when we're playing in Chicago, because in terms of like the housing families, you know, some guys were an hour away from each other. So you had to drive, but we were like, we don't care. Like, we're still going to do this. And if you have to drive an hour to get back home afterwards, then you have to drive an hour to get back home afterwards. And yeah, it's huge. And I think it's such an important thing at every level to make sure, even at the youth levels, like doing, you know, team dinners and doing shinny tournaments in the hotels if you're a younger kid, or you know, whatever, just doing stuff together. It's everything. And it adds to, you know, the whole premise of this entire episode of great hockey memories.
Yeah. And some of the coaches listening to this that coach younger teams, like if your kids are below, I'm not telling anyone that what to do, but if your kids are below 13, let them play shinny hockey in the hotel. Let them run around and be a little idiots within reason. Like, obviously, be respectful, you know, all that stuff. But, like, those are some of my most fun memories, are, like, having a little bit of autonomy from my parents and them trusting me when I was just old enough to, like, be running around the hotel by myself. And obviously not causing trouble, but playing hotel tag or playing shinny hockey, grabbing a banquet room and the whole team's in there playing shinny hockey. Like, let the kids have fun and let them develop a passion and let them learn to be better teammates and all that stuff. Because like that developed me just as much as playing did at 12, at 13, at 11, even maybe at 14, you know? And I feel like so many people get so serious way too young now. And like, that's not the way to do it. Like be serious when it's time to be serious, but let the kids be kids when it's time to be kids.
And that's important. Again, we talk about it all the time. Of all the players that have gone on to do great things that I know, the one consistent of every single one of them is they love to play the game. And if you're not allowing for those times as a youth coach for the kids to have unstructured play and just be a kid, they're not going to fall in love with the game. They're not. Like if you push them too much, and I'm not saying don't push them because again, it's a thing where, you know, you got to make sure that you play both sides, because to be a great athlete or great at anything, you have to be pushed and you have to put a shot to the comfort zone. There's times where you're going to have to, you know, get kids on the ice when they don't want to be on the ice. But at the same time, you got to let the kids be kids and have these memories, because that develops that love for the game that every single elite athlete has. And there's a few that slip through the cracks that hate it. Yeah, you know, but they're just given the gift of God of being that talented. But that is a minuscule, minuscule, minuscule percentage. 98% of the players that end up doing great things in anything they just have a drive and a passion for what they do. Totally. And that starts at that age. I'm a big believer in that. Yeah, you have to be mindful of that as a coach at the youth levels.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing with the balance, and we talk about that all the time. But yeah. Totally agree. I'm on the same Same wavelength as you.
Good stuff, man. All right. Well, let's get over to this conversation with the Stolars. And this was a fun one to have to just talk about some, again, like we talked about, some ins and outs. And at the end of the episode, we are going to give a secret hashtag out. A secret hashtag out to use next week for the ability to win a free 24x44 $2,000 backyard rink. And so how it's going to work is you're going to hear this secret hashtag, and once you hear that, use it on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook on either our accounts with the Hockey Think Tank or on Nice Rinks accounts on their social media. They got a huge social media following, especially on Facebook. They were talking about it's like over 600,000 followers in their Facebook community. So just to show you how incredible of a company they are. But yeah, so we're going to, at the end of their episode, there's going to be a secret hashtag that we're going to talk about. Use that hashtag on social media from Monday 11/9 to November 18th. And then we are randomly going to select a winner of people that have used that hashtag on November 20th, and we'll release that info on the 20th. So just a really, really cool collaboration with another great company in Nice Rink who do such a great job in providing that love and passion for the game that we're talking about in their business of building backyard rinks. So we are very excited to have Jim and Tyler on. Before that, we do want to thank GelSticks, our title sponsor, GelSticks.com. Go to GelSticks.com for a great weighted training stick to help out with. You can use it on the backyard rink with Nice Rink as you're playing. And then for Train Heroic as well, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I want to thank the boys at Train Heroic. Josh, one of the founders who hooked me up with this unbelievable company. Been working with over 700 clients online since COVID started that have been using my different programs, at least one of them. So thank you. It's so clean. It's so easy. I use it in the gym with my pro clients, college, all the way down to the kids, and all of the teams that I train remotely. Tri-City Storm in the USHL being one of them, Boston Junior Rangers, junior hockey teams that I'm training remotely. So that's been really cool. And quickly to tell anyone who's listening, I just started a training program this week, which the Topher Scott has already completed 3 of 3 days. So that's been really exciting. He accepted my challenge and he's training with me. It's called Train With Me on Train Heroic. So literally I'm allowing anyone who wants to join to train the exact same exercises, the exact same workout, timing, everything that I am currently doing. This is something I'm going to be doing year round from now on. I want to help people get healthier, especially with everything going on with COVID. You know, the healthier you are, the more resistant you are to getting sick and all the things that come up with that. So I've been super excited to do that. And I have over 30 people already following with me. I talk to them every day on the message boards. And it's been very cool. And like I said, TOLF is doing it. So if there's anybody out there who has questions or they want to join the team, DM me and I can give you more information. But it's only $35 a month. And it's been really exciting so far. We're getting a lot of great results already. So that's been super exciting. So thank you to Train Heroic for making that possible.
Yep. Got my butt kicked the last couple days. Today was an active rest day. So did some mobility and some hand-eye coordination stuff. Got a little jump.
Yeah, you did.
So yeah,
it's how was your mobility? How was your, I'm sure you haven't done that type of stuff. Well, all of this.
Well, I have, I mean, I've done yoga and stuff in the past and there's a lot of similar type stuff. But I, how is it? That's good. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, yeah. Hey,
can you
use a little,
can you some help, you know, can you
some
work?
Every day, a little better than the last. That's the goal, baby.
1% better every day. Absolutely. Nope. And then obviously, our biggest thank you is to all you, the listeners, for continuing to go on this podcast journey with us. We're on episode 132 right now. And, this is the best part of our week, being able to shoot the breeze, talk some hockey, talk some life. And we think you're really going to enjoy this episode here with Jim and Tyler Stolar. So without further ado, here we are with Jim and Tyler Stolar. We are so excited to have on this episode of the podcast. I am really, really excited about this podcast because it's bringing back some incredible memories from my childhood. But we have Jim and Tyler Stolar, who own and operate Nice Rink, a backyard rink company. And we are going to get into the nitty gritty because I know it's getting to be about that time. The weather is extremely unpredictable pretty much everywhere, but that's why you need a place like Nice Rink to help you out with that kind of thing, to have a backyard rink. But Jim and Tyler, how are you guys doing today?
Fantastic. Can't complain. 65 degrees today, so, but it's not going to last long.
No, definitely not. And we're really excited about this little collaboration that we're doing between Nice Rink and the Hockey Think Tank. And, you know, we'll get into the contest that we're going to be doing a little bit later to give away a 24x44 backyard rink for free, a $2,000 value for free. I might just have to steal it for myself, but we'll see. We have a ton of questions we put out on social media over the week here about any kind of backyard questions about building a rink. And so if you guys are ready, we'll just get going. Bang, bang, bang. Start these questions. What do you think?
Yeah, let's jump into it. We can always, get them directed in other places, but yeah, let's go.
All right. Good stuff. First of all, how did you guys end up starting this company? Where did the idea come from? And, and how did it all come about?
So my grandfather started the company in 1948. So we've actually been around for 72 years in the plastics industry. And I went out when he was about 9 months old, as all the hockey family playing members know, once you can walk, you got to get the skates on the kids. So went out, tried to build a rink in the backyard, tried to flood the grass, came out the next morning and it was all gone. You know, it was too warm, melted right in the ground. So with the plastics company, I went out, we make good plastics. So went in, laid that in a little 12x12 frame, 16x16 frame, I can't remember now, and filled it up with water. And next day I was standing on the ice. So I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. So that's literally how it started. Just tried to make my own, and we had the plastics company. And then about 8 years into it, we developed a system to, instead of building a rink, we developed brackets to put in the ground. You can kind of see that one up behind me there, but they can go on the website and check that out. And then we came up with plastic boards and ice resurfacer and all the different components to just make it a lot easier and just kind of make it like a Lego system and just put it together instead of having to build it.
Yeah, so for the people who are challenged like myself in doing those kinds of things, as I sit with the Legos with my daughter who's 3 years old, it's very, very easy. Perfect. Well, good stuff. So a lot of these questions that we've gotten, the first couple are ones that we had multiple people ask these kinds of questions as they're going in their backyard and trying to figure out the best way to build a backyard rink for their kids. And the first one is about just leveling and how difficult it could be to level your backyard to make sure you have a flat surface to be able to do that. So first question is, my backyard isn't 100% level. How do I get a sheet of ice that's level without digging or leveling? And how do you measure it as well?
But yeah, for sure. Leveling a yard is one of the biggest challenges. And that's one of the huge things that we always tell people about leveling yard. Just check it first. You can build a rink on a sloped yard. It's just a lot bit more of a challenge because you have a rink that's, your yard's going to be like this. If it's tipped like this, your water is going to actually be 4 inches on your shallow side. But when you come across, it could be up to 14 inches. So on this side, you just have to build your board higher so that your water doesn't go over your boards. And then you have to support that. So the biggest thing is people will build their boards higher, but they won't build the proper support. So you can, it's just like framing concrete, basically. I mean, that's what we developed the bracket for. Our bracket is a triangle and it will help support that pressure against the wood. It'll do about 14 inches of water every 2 feet. And then if you get over that, you want to definitely add support every 2 feet apart, instead of every 4 feet apart, and build your boards higher. Not the ideal concern. Anything less than 10 inches of slope is ideal.
Okay. And is that a question that you guys get all the time? Does Nice Rink help out in terms of, like, I imagine, like, even talking to a family member yesterday who wants to build a rink in their backyard, they're like bringing a landscaping company in and leveling a huge hill in their backyard to make sure they have the space to do that. Like, as you guys being the backyard rink company, are there certain things that you guys have that can help out with that? So maybe it's not so expensive for people that have to level their entire hills in their yards.
No, I mean, unless you level your yard, you're going to have to build higher boards and just support the boards, which some people don't want to touch their yard. And we get that too. But, you know, somebody that builds a yard, a rink, maybe 2-3 years on a hill, that fourth year they're leveling, because it's not that difficult. You can do it in the spring. Just get a sod remover, cut all the sod out, put it to the side, level the area, roll your grass back out, and literally within 2 or 3 weeks, your yard's back to normal. And building a rink is like heaven.
I can imagine so.
It just becomes a lot easier at that point.
Okay. Okay. Good stuff. Yeah, I got a lot of questions about that for sure. Next question I have is, this one's more about basically layers. And when you put your ice down and you're laying it down, does it go in layers? You do it all at once. So just one of the questions we had, I read about flooding your rink, but others also say I freeze layer by layer. Which one should I be doing and what difference does it make?
So a little bit depends on your area and how you're building your rink, because you've probably heard the stories, I'm sure, about Walter Gretzky building the rink for Wayne. And back in the day, they put a sprinkler out and just let it build ice, build ice, build ice, and layer it. And if you're going to do a rink without a liner, yes, layering is the way to go, because obviously you can't just let your hose sit out there and flood. It'll flood and just run off. So you have to spray it, let it freeze, spray it, let it freeze. It does build harder and better ice doing it that way, but the time takes a long time. So that's one of the reasons why the nice rink liner system came into play, and it's a lot easier because you can just build your, basically your sandbox frame, whether it be our frame or your home build frame, drop a liner in it, throw the hose in it, go back inside, sit by the fire, you know, have a couple coldies and lay. And then after you get your initial ice in, then you will layer it. Either you can spray your ice once it's in, you have your base going, or you can use we have what's called a nice ice resurfacer that hooks to a garden hose. And it lays the water just like an indoor resurfacing machine with a mat, and the water comes out and it lays it in a really nice layer instead of flooding. Because I think there was further question on, there was another question about creating stronger ice and with snow dust and everything. So what happens is the layering, it'll create layers in there and it actually freezes in different directions. So it creates stronger and harder ice because it's like plywood. You know, when you were little and you skated on a pond and you cut and the ice just kind of dug a big groove out, when you layer it like an indoor rink, it doesn't do that. That's because it's multiple layers of ice and it's a lot harder. So if you, once you start layering your ice up, you're going to have basically indoor ice because you'll have layers built up.
Nice. Do you remember, Vex, when like grandpa would be doing it and he would like go and he'd spray the hose and then he'd like go inside and then he'd come back out and he'd spray the hose and then he'd like come back inside?
Like every 20 minutes or every hour he was going out there, I feel like he used to tell us.
Yeah. Yeah. Or he was just, you know, overemphasizing it, the work that he was doing. I don't know.
I don't think so. I feel like he was always going out there.
No,
I only got to skate on the backyard rink one winter. Like that's the only time I ever got to do it when I was playing college hockey, but I know you guys got to do it a lot more. I was definitely jealous. So I would have loved to have an opportunity in St. Louis for me to do this at my parents' house growing up and have like this technology and not just be grandpa going out there every 20 minutes spraying the water.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, good stuff. Let's go to the next question. This is an interesting question too, because I never really even thought about like the different waters that could be used. So one person asked, is it okay to use creek water to fill my rink instead of tap water, or do I have to be worried about what's in it? And also, should I use hot or cold water?
So let's do the filling of the rink first, and then we'll do the hot and cold water second, because that's going to go back to the resurfacing and layer of the ice. So what water you put in there doesn't matter. I would just be careful with creek water, because if you're putting a pump in there, just make sure not to suck sediment and dirt and weeds and stuff into your rink, because that's going to be frozen into the ice. And using a white liner, that's going to help keep your ice a lot better and colder, because it's going to reflect all the sunlight. So if you pump a lot of dirt in, it's going to settle to the bottom of the liner and it's going to basically defeat the purpose of using a white liner. So clean water is good. A ton of people call like pool water companies and just have, you know, a 6,000 gallon truck show up and boom, fill that baby up. But, you know, some rinks take a lot of water. Like my 44 by 88 would take, you know, 25,000 gallons of water. So that's like 5 water trucks.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like $500 a truck. So it starts adding up real fast. So for me, I'm on my own well. So I just drop my hose in and let it fill. Mine fills up for about 24 hours. So I sort of do it on timing. I'll drop the hose in like at 3 p.m. And then by the next day at 3 p.m, then I'll be full enough to turn the water off. And then the fourth way actually is a lot of people say, hey, can I pump my pool water into my rink? So you can do that too, but the chlorine in the pool water actually raises the freezing point of water. So instead of freezing at 32, I think it's like 34.
Huh.
So it's not a lot of difference, or it lowers the freezing point. I'm sorry, lowers it. So it's like it has to get down to 30 to freeze instead of 32. And then hot and cold water filling doesn't matter. You can fill up with whatever you want. Groundwater is going to come out of the tap at 55 degrees. And then there's a huge argument on hot water versus cold water on surfacing. Your ice outside, it's different than an indoor rink. Outdoor ice is going to be, you know, obviously if you're skating on it, it has to be 25-ish or so, or definitely 32 or less. But I've always used just the cold water tap, which comes out at 55 degrees to the ice outside. That's already warm. You're at 55 and your ice is 25. You have a 30 degree differential already. So you're going to resurface with 55 degree water. It's going to make it like glass. I mean, he can attest, he was out there all the time and that ice was perfect. So
better than probably any NHL rinks ice.
There's a couple nights where I knew that we were having like team practice out there and I had that ice perfect. Like it was glass.
I like it.
Harder too.
Yeah. Way harder. Cause it's so much colder.
I like it. Well, one other question that we have, and this is a big one, because I would imagine the amount of pucks lost in backyard rinks is very, very large. Yeah, we had was kind of like a 4-foot fence at my grandfather's place. And I can't believe we didn't break any windows. Maybe other people did, but like, I luckily didn't. But what's
your shot's not breaking any windows, Toph. Don't you kidding me.
Boom, that's actually true. I got an elite muffin. I don't know if I ever told you. So we did every year we did a Christmas party for our team at Cornell, and it was kind of like a gag gift kind of thing. You had to get something funny or write a poem for the guy that you got. You know, you take the name out of the hat or whatever. And one year, I think it was my freshman year, one of my teammates, he literally tied a muffin to the blade of a stick. Because I had a muffin of a shot.
That is amazing.
And he gave it to me.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It was hilarious, but
a short joke. He goes for the elite muffin. I love
it. Oh, there were short jokes too. Don't worry. I mean, that was just part of the gift. But anyway, so Jim, and Tyler, for you guys, what's the best way? And first of all, how does Nice Rink deal with that? And then number two, if you don't have a rink, you know, what have you guys kind of seen in terms of ways where you can shoot the puck wide or shoot the puck high and not have to, you know, hopefully not hit any windows or not have to go chase pucks after every time.
Just a bit outside. Yep. So the, when I originally designed the Nice Rink system, I wanted it basically to look like a sheet of pond in your backyard. I didn't want a big construction site. I didn't want big boards and glass. And, you know, I wanted it to be like a backyard pond hockey. So when we designed it, 16-inch plywood boards and then 18-inch tall plastic boards. And yes, that question gets asked a lot. We have 8x24-foot nets that we have that we can offer. There's a lot of places on Amazon and all over the place you can get different nets, but ours lasts a long time. You just basically put up two poles, string the net in between. It's eight high, 24 wide. If you miss that, then sorry, go chase pucks, pal. So, but the thing about chasing pucks too, so I'll give you two quick stories. So back in the day, after the rink was pulled down and everything, I'm cutting my grass. All of a sudden, you're boom, boom, right in my neighbor's house.
Oh no!
Out of the lawnmower, and it was not a muffin shot. It hit right between two windows.
That is incredible.
It was nuts. Yeah, so and then funny. This year. We haven't put up a rink in probably, 6 years, I would say? He's 28, so it's been...
I set up one when I moved back from college. I put it up again
for
a few skates, but that winter was iffy. But
yeah. So last
before
year...
Before that, it was like 7-8 years because I was always, you know, at juniors or college. So I wasn't home.
So last year, I'm out in the side woods just kind of messing around out there. Find hockey pucks still from 10 years ago out in the woods. We're talking 30 yards outside the rink.
That's hilarious. It's like,
it's,
no.
That's funny. Jeff, your shot. Do you ever break any windows or anything?
No, but I broke glass and rinks a bunch of times. What's up? Peace.
Have you actually?
Yeah, multiple times.
By running into it or like a Happy Gilmore shot?
Well, in the NHL against the Canadians in preseason, I hit a guy through the glass. And then, but no, I broke the glass four times, I think, with the shot. Obviously, it means you missed the net. Not a good thing. But yeah, I broke it four times.
Was the goal regulation size or what?
It's just goal regulation size or what? Damn it.
No way they're dogging me this year. Oh, that's awesome. So what is like, what's a good size rink? Maybe based upon age. So let's say you have, you know, Whites or Squirts, Novice Adams, young kids, 8, 9, 10 years old. Maybe for like older players, high school, college type players and adults. Is there a specific size rink that sells the best for you guys, or is there a specific size that you guys would recommend?
Yep. So we have a 20 by 40 rink in a box, which starts at $399. So that's a huge deal. You have to get your own plywood, but to start and get into it, decide if you like it or if you don't, you can always expand from there. So 20 by 40, I would say that's more for, you know, kids 7, 8 and under that probably aren't at high level hockey. You know, they're just kids starting and they just want to have a backyard rink, which is happening a lot this year.
Or a city kid.
Yeah.
Not a big backyard.
Not a big backyard. That's all
not
you can do.
To shoot.
Yeah. So little kids, you could play 2-on-2, maybe some 3-on-3 in there, but that'd be really tight 3-on-3. Next size up, probably our most popular, I would say, would be 32 by 64. Good size. I mean, everyone doesn't have a huge yard to put a massive rink in, and then you have to find a level spot like we talked about earlier. So, and then we go to like park and rec, you know, communities, and they're like, well, how many people can I put on the rink? Well, I'm okay. Well, if each person had a 10 foot by 10 foot area, that's 100 square feet on a 32 by 64, roughly, you know, 1800 square feet, you could fit 18 people on that rink. They could all stand in the rink, spin around, and nobody would touch each other. So 100 square feet per person if you're just skating. Now for hockey, like we went up to 60 by 90 for a couple of years, which was massive. I mean, we're talking half sheet of length and over almost three quarters of the width of the rink in our backyard. The issue is maintenance.
Oh yeah.
Because when it snows, you know, your little driveway you clean off. Well, now you have 8 driveways to clear off. So you have to think about that too. Our optimum size, we backed it down to 44 by 88. And I really feel like that's the optimum size that we used. I had an Aaron snowblower, run the snowblower down the middle, and it could throw the snow 22 feet one way, 22 feet the other way, and then you could just keep on going along the edges. If you got a little wider than that, then you're double snow blowing all the snow.
Crazy.
So that seemed like a really good size. No, I mean, yeah, there's people ordering 52 by 104s in their backyard. Those are massive. I mean, they're awesome, but yeah, a lot of them have, you know, huge yards, huge houses. They have a crew to take care of it.
They drive a four-wheeler on the ice and plow it all to the side.
Right. And you can always expand. Like I said, you can always start 20 by 40, go up to a 32 by 64. You can go to a 44 by 88, just add more components and get a bigger liner.
Awesome. Awesome. Good stuff. Okay. Next question. I'm going to actually read this entire question here because it's, I think it relates a lot to kind of what we're going through right now. And, so this person says, hi, first, thanks for doing this giveaway. I'd love to win the rink for my son. He is in developmental hockey league and his ice time was cut in half because of COVID. We definitely have the yard for it and he'd be able to use the rink after school into the evenings. My question is though, is it really like skating on ice in the arenas? So a couple different things here. One, like how has COVID changed your guys' business this year? I have to imagine things are going pretty well, just based upon this question, and people are looking to get on the ice more because people can't get into the rinks more because it's getting slashed because rinks are closing or, whatever it may be. So how has that affected you guys? And then just the last question with that too, is it really like skating it like on the rink?
So yeah, going to the COVID thing, obviously, thank you to all the first responders, frontline workers, everybody that really has to deal with that right in the face. I mean, us sitting here pretty lucky not to have to deal with any of that head on. So I really appreciate that. And I'm sure you do as well. So yeah, the COVID has definitely affected it with the rink shutdowns. I think Mass shut down, New Hampshire shut down. I think Michigan might even still be shut down.
They have to wear masks.
Yeah, they're wearing masks. But yeah, there's definitely an uptick in business. We're selling more rinks this year. Our lead times are pushed out a little bit further. So trying to deal with it as best we can and get the inventory flow going. So that'll cover that part. Yes, we are busier. Now, is it like skating on rinks in the inside?
I'd say no. I tell people no all the time because you're not, there's no water freezing bumps. There's no cracks in the ice in the real rink. And when you're out on the backyard rink, you're getting, you know, irregular freezing rink ice. So the puck's bouncing all over the place. It's, you know, it's not perfect, but you do that every day after school and all your buddies are there. Then you go to the rink and you're like, wow, I'm a magician out here because this is perfectly smooth. And that's just how it felt all the time. Like, go on the real rink inside and nothing's wrong with you because the puck's not going everywhere. So I'd say it's a little bit different from the arena ice because the arena ice is always going to be generally smooth as can be.
Now, follow-up question to that, you can probably touch on that too a little bit if it's the same or not because you skated outside. Which was more fun and why?
Outside's more fun because there's no rules. There's no coach telling you to sit down because you tried a toe drag one too many times and thinking it worked that one time. So obviously outside's fun. Any hockey player will tell you that it's more fun outside until you win inside. Once you win, then it's fun inside.
Yeah. Well, we've had quite a few people on the podcast, you know, from up north, whether that's Minnesota or Massachusetts or Wisconsin, even in Canada. And you know, most of the people that we talk to, we ask them why they fell in love with the game. That's the first question we typically ask everybody. And so many people talk about the ponds and the backyards and freezing parking lots and all that kind of stuff. So it does, like Jeff and I talk all the time on this podcast about, you know, if you want to be an elite hockey player, passion has to come first. You have to love it. And so that's why what you guys are doing, I feel like, is such a good service to the hockey world at large, because you guys are very much developing a love for the game and so many different people having the opportunity to just go out back whenever you want and just have fun with it, you know? So I think it's really, really cool. Really, really cool. And I would imagine that's kind of how you guys fell in love with it too, huh?
Oh yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it was definitely a passion play to start. It obviously turned into a little bit bigger operation than any of us have ever imagined. But yeah, I mean, I still have his teammates from when he was little. One of them was he fired up the Nice Rink Beer League team again. So I got this 52-year-old guy, you know, out there trying to run around with the youngsters again. But one of his old teammates was out there refereeing. And he still said, you know, oh man, the backyard rink. He goes, I just love that. Didn't talk about any of the championships, none of the wins, you know, oh, I remember skating on the backyard. It was so fun. So I get a lot of that. And people are just like, you know, even AAA players, they're skating so much. And they still want to get done and go skate in the backyard rink. It's like, you guys are skating so much. Nope. Want to go out. I don't care.
Skates are wet.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. Go. Cause it's just fun. Nobody telling you what to do. You can just have fun. And that's what, you know, especially, you know, get to a higher level and income business, you know, it's the fun factor sort of leaves at some point when you get to that elite level where you go on a backyard rink, it's all fun.
Yeah, for sure. There's something so pure about it. Like, and I remember just playing in the back again, going back to my grandparents, like you knew grandma would just tap on the window in the kitchen when dinner was ready. You walk right in with your skates on. You're like, you don't even take your skates off. Skates on at dinner, eat dinner, and then you're right back outside once you're done. And that's no just
hands.
So pure. okay, yeah, well, good
as
stuff.
As a father too, when you're out taking care of the rink, and I hear this a lot, that people kind of use that as their serenity time. Like after all the kids go in and go to bed, they'll clean off the rink. And when you're outside in the winter, I mean, how often do people spend time outside at night in the winter? Barely ever. Well, you go out there and you hook up your resurfacer, grab a cold one, and you're just walking around your rink and there's stars shining in the sky and the moon shining. It's unbelievable feeling to have that. And then know that you're doing that for your kids and you know what they're going to have later on for all their memories.
I love it. I love it. It's one of those things where it's almost kind of similar to mowing the lawn in the summer, where you just get outside and you're just alone. You put your, you know, you're alone with your thoughts. And then in the wintertime, you can have that serenity back. Just, you know, I think every dad or mom needs a little alone time every once in a while when you have kids. So yeah, I can see that for sure.
Yeah. And it's funny because backyard ice rink in Canada, in French, translates to ice garden.
Oh, there you go. I like it.
So exactly what you're talking about. You're just gardening ice instead of grass.
I like it. Well, the last question I have for you here, Jim and Tyler, is what kind of separates Nice Rink from the competition? You know, just like we're trying to build, as coaches, trying to build teams and identities and our culture and everything like that to try and compete with our competition. What separates you guys from your competitors when it comes to, you know, the backyard rink business?
You want to go on that or you want me to go?
You go.
Okay. So obviously we started it 30 years ago and we've been in the plastics business forever. So, people try to imitate our liners, and ours is actually a three layer liner that's all, blown and sealed all together. So it's a really strong material. We have videos on YouTube that you can see that. So that's a really strong liner. A lot of our imitation or competitors, they're going to come out with different ways to try to do it. The Nice Rink bracket's been around for 22 years and has totally proven itself. It's super long lasting. Like, we still have people. The first 2 years we made the brackets blue. There was one original one up there I showed you the other day too. But there's still, I still see rinks using those blue brackets from 22 years ago. So longevity of it is for sure excellent. The plastic board lasts a long time. And then it comes down to costing. From the beginning, when I started bringing on products and creating products, I'm like, for me as a dad with a hockey player and all that, I'm like, what would I pay for it? Like, if it's going to cost, you know, way more than I'm looking at and going, no, I wouldn't pay for that. Then I just wouldn't carry it or wouldn't develop it. So cost factor is huge. You know, we get our boards and our brackets. We have a gold package boards, brackets, liner, bumper caps, kick plates, and an ice resurfacer. So we call that a full and complete package. Our competitors only offer three of those items, yet charge 50% more than we do. So we're 50% less and you get all a complete package. You know, they're not giving you bumper caps. They're not giving you kick plates to help protect the liner and let the puck go around. And there's no ice resurfacer. So you're out back spraying again, or you're going to have to build something on your own. Our customer service is second to none. We have a full staff here. We're a year-round company. Like we said, we've been around a long time. We're very active on our social media. So if anybody wants to reach out on any of our social media pages, we have a text line, a corporate text line that everyone has access to, email, whatever people need help with, a backyard rink users community group on Facebook. So they can go there and ask questions. And my clients actually will get to the questions before I do. I kind of watch them and make sure everything's going okay. But yeah, my longtime clients, I, you know, kudos to them. And, you know, throw them a rocks glass or a beer glass or a t-shirt every now and then. But yeah, I really appreciate all the help that everyone gives, and they're well educated. We have, you know, 15, 20 year clients out there that know exactly what's going on.
Yeah. That's awesome. And, you know, we got a chance, to obviously do some talking about this stuff and check each other's companies out and everything. And I encourage you to go and check out Nice Rink on social media. What's your guys' Facebook? Like, it's ginormous. Like, this is huge, isn't it?
Yeah. 620,000 or so.
620,000 people in their Facebook community. So, yeah. That's pretty impressive to say the least. We just hit 2,000 and we're like doing circles. We're so excited about it. We only got, I don't even want to do the math, but a lot to go. So that's great. Is there somewhere else that where our listeners can find you guys? I know obviously Nice Rink, NICERINK on social media, but website, and is there any place else that you think people can go and find your stuff?
Yep. Website's the same, nicerink.com. Our phone number, if you don't have the numbers, it's really easy. It's 888-NICE-RINK, leave off the K. You can dial it, it'll automatically remove it. And then our YouTube channel, someone had Nice Rink, so we have Nice Rink 1991. That's the year we started. So
I changed it back to Nice Rink. Like, the handle channel is /Nice Rink. So everything on social, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. It's all Nice Rink.
Yeah, and they can reach out to any of those at any time. There's pretty much 24/7 monitoring that all those channels right now. So,
okay, good stuff. Well, we're excited to do this little giveaway contest with you guys for our listeners, and we've been pumping it on social media here to listen to the podcast this week. And you know what we want our listeners to do: if you do want a free $2,000 24x44 rink from Nice Rink, and you just got the chance to kind of get a sense of what the rink is all about and how amazing it is. So if you go onto either the Hockey Think Tanks or Nice Rink social media from the dates 11/9, which is today, Monday, that this is dropping, to 11/18, and use the hashtag ThinkRink20, then you will be entered into winning this contest and this free rink. And the winner is going to be randomly selected and announced on November 20th. So like I said, go to either of our social media accounts. I would encourage you, if you're a follower of us, to follow Nice Rink. Hopefully Nice Rink has some followers that maybe can come our way. Jeff is, as we talked about, Jeff is actually verified on Instagram right now, and he will literally kill people for more followers. So follow Jeff Lavecchio at Jeff Lavecchio on Instagram.
Well, if he breaks glass, he will kill people. So
there you go. But like I said, use the hashtag ThinkRink20 on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook from 11/9 to 11/18. And like I said, the winner is going to be randomly selected on 11/20. And we appreciate everybody for giving us questions. We appreciate you, Jim, and Tyler for coming on here and talking about the ins and outs of building a backyard rink, because like for myself that has young kids that has never done it before, this is just awesome information. I encourage you to buy a Nice Rink, because that just takes away all of the stress of having to learn the information, that's for sure. But also a lot of good information, if not either. So we appreciate you guys for taking the time to come on here, and look forward to this little contest here, somebody getting a free rink.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having us, Topher. I know that we have a long family relationship too, so it's always nice to hook back up with the hockey family. And regarding the hashtag too, the ThinkRink20, use it on all of them. Use it on all of ThinkRink's and Topher's pages. Use it on all of ours, because every time you use it, that's an entry. So don't be afraid to hit everything. They'll all be counted.
Absolutely. I'm excited to see who's going to get it too. I have a couple family members that are probably going to do it about 80 different times. So they might have to be discluded. We might have to make a rule, no family members, but we'll see. But yeah, thanks so much for taking the time to do this. And yeah, we will announce a winner on 11/20. So giddy up. Here we go.
Super appreciate it. Thanks so much, Gilbert.